Hey, home theater nerds. Thanks for pushing play on the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. This week's experience? Tenet in 4K. How's the picture? How's the sound? It is only DTS 5.1. Before we get into the theater and break that down, if you're watching this on YouTube, please hit subscribe. The button's right there. It's right there, the little button. If you're listening to this on a podcast, hit subscribe, leave a 5-star review. I'd really appreciate that. That's how we grow the podcast. Anything else, you can go to my website, Brightside Home Theater, and you can follow along there. You can see all the links to join, follow me on Twitter, email, Patreon. That'd be great. But let's get into the theater and break this down.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Tenet in 4K, variable aspect ratios, DTS Master Audio 5.1. Only in a Christopher Nolan movie can you say DTS Master Audio 5.1 with such enthusiasm, because this movie demonstrates that you don't need to have object-based sound. You don't need to have DTSX. You don't need to have Dolby Atmos. All you need is a great artist that knows how to manipulate his tools. And this movie is a reference movie, a must-own movie for sound. For picture as well. First, we'll talk about the picture very quickly. Spoiler free, if you haven't seen this movie, and I really have to preface that with this podcast in particular, because once that popcorn starts popping, if you have not seen this movie, please do not continue, because there's a big, big spoiler right after the popcorn pops. So, all right. The picture in this movie, fantastic HDR, fantastic, because you have the variable aspect ratios and a really, really nice contrast. I think the contrast was bumped up in this. So having that really nice HDR really shows off, like, let's just say some colors that are supposed to pop to show you some stuff that maybe you might not see on the first viewing. I'll leave that right there. But there's some scenes, some really nice scenes where they expand the aspect ratio to full screen, going full 16:9. The colors are popping off the screen, just lots to take in. The picture is just gorgeous throughout this movie, but the sound steals the show. Like most Christopher Nolan movies, the sound just really steals the show. DTS Master Audio only 5.1. And I love that. I absolutely love that, because it shows you that it's not the tool that makes the artist. It's the artist. And you don't need you don't need those extra channels to make it sound that much. Now, granted, I upmixed it, but I did A-B it, and it sounds fantastic in 5.1. But I did upmix it using NeuralX, because I upmix everything. And it just sounds absolutely fantastic. The bass in this movie is amazing. And you're going to hear me say it again, how amazing it is. If I went into this movie, my son and I, when we were done watching this movie, now the way I watch these, I go through it and I stamp out these different scenes. He even said, "You missed a bunch because you're so intrigued with the story." And it was like my fourth viewing. But there's so much you want to pay attention to. The dialogue, I'm going to get into that. I'll get into that in the podcast. I want to leave that right there, because I know that there's some controversy over that, and I have some answers for that. But I think the sound throughout this movie, the pans, the bass, the punchy, punchy bass really hits you in the chest, comes up through the seat. An absolute must-own. Absolutely a must-own for picture, for sound, for story. If you don't get it, watch it again. There's so much to take in. There's so much to enjoy. Whether it's just the home theater environment, this movie rocks the house. Watch it for that. While you're watching it a second time, you're going to pick up on some things that maybe you didn't get the first time. Really, really enjoyed it. Again, let's get into these scenes. But the popcorn is popping, but I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, do not keep going, because there's a big spoiler coming up right about now. So let's get to it. Let's get to where we always start. 2 hours, 19 minutes, 7 seconds, wind. And yes, we're starting at the end. This is Tenet. I had to do something different. I had to be creative. I had to try. So we're going to go backwards through this movie, because who knows which way we're going. Maybe this is the forward way. I don't know. But here we are at the end of the movie, and this is the final scene, and basically this entire movie, what I've already talked about, or what I'm about to already talk about, is how loud this movie is. The score is loud. Everything about this movie is loud. But now, mission's over, or this mission is over, anyways. Robert Pattinson, John David Washington, they're sitting there. They've just been saved. Everything's okay. Everything is calm, and your room is finally calm. I mean, there's very few calm scenes throughout this movie. But now, at the end of the movie, we get just the wind blowing around your room. Nice ambient sounds of the winds around the area. And it's just very calming at the end of this movie. I mean, this movie was just so loud. There's just so much to get through. There's so much bass. It would be redundant if I went all the way through this movie and just talked about how much bass there is. It's crazy. But I try to break it down as best I can. So it's an amazing movie. The sound in this movie was great, but this scene here, very calming. That's why I made note of it. 2 hours, 19 minutes, 7 seconds. Just very nice and calm. So we had to start somewhere or end somewhere. I don't know, which one are we doing? But anyways, next up at 2 hours, 11 minutes, 9 seconds, Clear Enough. And this one here is about the dialogue. And again, this movie gets a lot of criticism for its dialogue. And I say again, because I might have already talked about this. Or did I? Did I talk about it, or am I about to talk about it later? I don't know. Because this movie, this podcast, it's a jumble. But anyways, Kenneth Branagh, John David Washington, they're having a conversation, and Kenneth Branagh is whispering. There's the score is going on, loud score in this movie. Score is going on, and Kenneth Branagh is like, I am doing this. We had to do this because of, and he's talking into a phone. I don't remember the dialogue off the top of my head, but you can understand him. You can understand him well enough that you get what's going on. You can understand John David Washington enough. He's talking through a gas mask into a phone there, or into a walkie-talkie. What, it must be a phone, I guess, because they're on a phone. But you're getting that this is what's going on here. Kenneth Branagh's summing up why he's doing what he's doing. And that's the point of this to me. Again, and I said again, but I haven't, who knows? Is this the first time I'm talking about this? Is it the second time I'm talking about this? I think it's an artistic choice. What we are meant to understand, we understand perfectly. What isn't as important is probably it's because you're supposed to be paying attention to what's going on the screen. Who knows? I really enjoyed it. I don't think that the dialogue in this movie suffered at all, because there's so much to take in this movie, and that's what we're going to break down. But it is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's why I wanted to make note of this scene here. So check that out as you're going through. Pay attention to the dialogue. You get what you want to get when you need it. All right. Next up at 2 hours, 3 minutes, 10 seconds, 2 boxes of popcorn, pincer move. And this is where we're getting the two different teams are coming in. One's going one way. One's going the other way. People are running forward. People are running backwards. Explosions are coming up. Explosions are going in reverse. Explosions are going, hitting the ground in real time, like forward, I guess you'd call it. Amazing. The sounds in this scene, the explosions you can hear, the bass in the score, everything going on, all of it's, full room engagement. It's in crazy, crazy scene. At one point, I think it was at like 2 hours, 3 minutes and like 28 seconds. If you paused it right there, you'll see a Humvee where an explosion goes in reverse behind it, but it goes forward in front of it. Like it boom out of the ground. But then the other one, it looks like it's getting sucked into the ground. Amazing. But then, like I said, the score moving around your room, sounds moving around your room. The people, some of the sounds are in reverse. People are running forward and they're firing, but then there's other people that are running, they're in backwards time. So they're going in another direction. It's, again, a nothing. I mean, so much to take in here. I can't do it justice by just rambling on like this. So check that one out for sure. All right. Next up at 2 hours, 19 seconds, helicopters. And this is where the helicopters are bringing in the containers with all of the troops that are going to be attacking, doing their pincer move. And really, really cool here because they go to full screen. You get the view of the helicopter at one point going down the left side. Beautifully shot scene. But then also look at the gunfire that's landing in the air. The HDR really giving you a nice depth here to the scene where you have the helicopters are actually pretty small on the left side of the screen when they first go to that pan. I mean, you open up at this scene where the helicopters are coming across out from behind like a mountain or a hill, and they go by kind of in the lower part of your screen. Really, really cool. But like I said, check out the little smoke puffs in the air that you can just really see the real nice sense of 3D there with the way the HDR affected those smoke puffs. And you can hear those too. You can hear that pop. Lots going on, of course, with the score, but then you can hear that gunfire going off. Then the troops come out of the containers. You can hear all that. I mean, lots and lots to take in here, but that helicopters, when they're first coming in, just looked really nice. And those smoke puffs, check those out and listen for those as well. Really, really cool. All right. Up next at 1 hour, 50 minutes, 57 seconds, Magna Viking, which is the name of the yellow boat, the rescue boat that's out on the water. But you get full 16:9 screen, expanded aspect ratio of this beautiful yellow boat against the blue background of the ocean and the sky. Just the 4K HDR here, just really shining off the screen. Just a beautiful shot. Great black levels here of the black parts of the boat, the bright yellow of the boat. You have the orange boat in the background. Of course, they're going backwards as well. I'm not really amazed with the with that technology. I mean, you film the boat and then run it backwards. Really, really cool looking though. So just really enjoyed this for what it looked like. Just a beautifully shot scene. I mean, they could have used any color boat. And they went, they got this nice yellow boat. They could have done a Coast Guard. They could have done anything. But this gorgeous yellow boat against the blue background, just really, really nice, popping off the screen. Looks beautiful. All right. Next up at 1 hour, 40 minutes, 53 seconds, 2 boxes of popcorn going back in. And this is, I called it that because this is where Robert Pattinson, John David Washington, and they're trying to get Kat back into the building to save her life. And they unzip the container that they're in and they go back out to where the jumbo jet has just crashed, and they have to make their way across what would be the tarmac or wherever the jumbo jet was. Lots of emergency crew, yellow fire trucks, lots of bright lights against the dark sky. You have flames and all of that. Beautiful HDR. Beautiful 4K HDR, full 16:9 screen, but everything around them is going backwards. The technology that this took, it's one thing to have people run backwards, but the water coming out of the hoses is going backwards. The flames coming out of the jumbo jet as they run by, they're running forward. Everything around them is going backwards. It doesn't look like green screen. It doesn't look like, it just looks amazing. It's absolutely amazing, the technology that went on. The sounds in this, there's sounds going backwards. There's pans of people walking by, running by with hoses or whatever, firefighters, all the emergency crew. It's just an amazing scene to take in a home theater environment, but it's also something to just marvel at how did they do this? How did this happen? To get those flames to be going backwards, to get water back into the hose. Really, really cool. All right, next up at 1 hour, 31 minutes, 20 seconds, two boxes of popcorn, backwards, and this is where John David Washington first goes outside in reverse world. I don't know what else to call it, but everything's going backwards. The seagulls are flying backwards. The sounds are coming at you backwards. Score, really nice, of course, loud, but he splashes in a puddle. Sound goes backwards. But the detail that I want you to pick up on is there's a whooshing noise that goes around your room, giving you that sense of things aren't right here. I can't say that it's going backwards around your room, because when I walk around, whooshing noises don't go around my head. So I don't know if this is backwards or forwards, but it actually goes counterclockwise in your room. So the sound to me was going, I believe it started on the left, or maybe that's where I first noticed it, but it does. It goes around the room, goes across the front, back around behind you, around the room, counterclockwise. And it's like that, it's like whoosh, but you have to hear that move around you. Check that out. I mean, again, you don't need Atmos. You don't need DTS:X. This is done all using 5.1 audio, and when it's done well, it's amazing, because there's a ton of layers to this scene as well, but you're just that whooshing noise. That's what I want you to check out on that one. Really, really cool. All right, up next at 1 hour, 25 minutes, 19 seconds, Red and the Blue, two boxes of popcorn, because we have John David Washington's voice, Kenneth Branagh's voice, going on here. He's trying to get information out of Kenneth Branagh's trying to get information out of John David Washington's character, the protagonist. So Kenneth Branagh's threatening his wife with a gun, but the voices, like, there's parts of it where Kenneth Branagh is coming at you right from the screen, but then you hear John David Washington over his voice is coming from the left side of your room. But then there's other voices going on. Of course, the score is really loud. That's the way it's supposed to be, because it's a Christopher Nolan film. Fantastic scene. Many, many layers to this. Lots of voices moving around. Even there's like different protagonist voices going down the side of your room. Different places, different placements. Kenneth Branagh's voice is being placed in different places. Amazing. Plus, there's an echo to it too, because John David Washington's voice is on the other side of the glass, so it kind of echoes differently too in your room when you hear that version of his voice. Tons of layers, lots of fun. Really enjoyed that scene. Another scene to just play over and over for people because of how it manipulates the room, how the sound moves around the room. Really, really cool. Next up at 1 hour, 19 minutes, 6 seconds, one box of popcorn, because it's just great pans. And this is the chase scene. I called it Chase. And it's just the car. Robert Pattinson's driving backwards. Cars are going forwards. And as they're coming up on other cars, cars are panning down the side of the room. You've got the score going all over. There I go singing again. All over the room, just lots going on, but you still get those nice distinct pans. So that's why I dropped it in there and gave it a box of popcorn. All right, next up at 1 hour, 14 minutes, 34 seconds, three boxes of popcorn. I called it Trapped because of the way the fire engine and all the vehicles get that one vehicle trapped in the middle there. But this scene, as it plays out between the score, the sounds of the vehicles, that bass, the doom. Doom. I mean, there's so much to this scene. There's stuff going on all around you. I didn't know what else to call it. I didn't know what else. I mean, there's so much sound moving around your room. You've got stuff going on the left side of the room at one point, this ticking noise. Then at other point, at other points, most of the way through, you have that deep bass just doom, doom, hitting you in the chest. You have the sound of the vehicles going on and that they're driving along. It's just an amazing scene that, again, a lot of this is redundant, but it's just so good. I had to note it. 3 boxes of popcorn, definitely reference level scene for you to be able to put this scene on and entertain people of how this can fill your room. And you don't even have to know what's going on. It's just so much to take in. Watch this scene quite a few times. There's so much. All right, let's move along. I'm sorry I'm not more descriptive on that one because there is just so much to it. And I'd just make me start singing again, I guess. So, all right, let's move along to the next scene. 1 hour, 12 minutes, 28 seconds, heartbeat. And this is the scene where Kenneth Branagh, like, is beating his wife. But when he yells at her, the camera is looking up at him and he starts to yell at her. And all of a sudden there's this boom, 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 boom sound that comes in from overhead. Very deep, very loud. You can almost, the first time he starts yelling, the heartbeats are, or the sound is like perfectly overlapping what he's saying. You can barely hear what he's yelling at her. Really, really nice. But also check out how the light behind him, the fluorescent light on the ceiling behind him, actually goes out of like blurry focus. Like when you get that angry and everything's just blurred, that's way out of focus. Weird, weird, like double shot. It's a weird out of focus too. I really thought that was kind of cool. And it really added to the tension of the scene. But as well as, I mean, that, listen to that heartbeat, that sound that comes in. And I mean, there's other score to it too, but that sound when he starts yelling at her, then it goes away. Then he yells at her. I think he kicks her and then he yells at her again. And that boom, boom, boom. It really, really loud, really prominent, really, really enjoyed that. All right. Up next at 1 hour, 6 minutes, 15 seconds, gold bars, 2 boxes of popcorn. And this is where Kenneth Branagh is gets his gold bars. But what's cool is the protagonist is spying on them. Okay. So he's looking at them. And when you see it from his point of view and you're looking at Kenneth Branagh and he pulls the gold bars out in reverse, you know, they pop up to him. The sound of everything going on is right in front of you. But then they're still moving. Those characters are still moving around that case. What ends up happening is when the camera goes to the side view of the protagonist, of him looking through the little window or whatever he's looking through, the sound of those characters manipulating that case and the gold bars now moves to the right side of your room. You can hear it very clearly, and it's a very quick jump scene, but the sound moves, pans appropriately. Really, really cool. And it happens a couple of times as the scene plays out. So check that one out. I really enjoyed that. That's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn, because you know how much I love a good pan. All right, let's move along to 1 hour and 14 seconds. I called this Cabin, and this is where they're back on the boat, the protagonist, and I think her name was Kat in the movie. I think they called her that. But anyways, they're in the cabin on the boat, and they're talking about what are they going to do now, because she just tried to kill her husband. So that's not the important part of this scene. The important part of this scene is check out all the little details. The little, making tons of noises today. The little noises going on around you. It's like you're in your cabin, like on a boat. Like you can hear the water splashing around you, different sides of your room. It's like my theater was on a boat and I could hear the noises. Very, very subtle, very nice. At reference level, maybe not so subtle, but really, really nice. Really cool. All right, up next at 5721, Boat Race. And this one here, I just noted, I mean, has great sound. Actually has that dialogue in there that you really can't understand them that well. You can at times because they're mic'd up, but it's not super important dialogue. It's more about what's going on. And you had that expanded aspect ratio, the full 16:9 screen. It's completely full. And that's why I noted this one, because it just looked beautiful. The boats racing and being able to see them on that full scale, top to bottom, when they had the long shots and you see both boats, just a beautiful scene to take in. And having that expanded aspect ratio, I really enjoyed the variable aspect ratios in this movie. And it, for scenes like this, where it just really opens up and you can see everything, and it just makes everything so much more meaningful to me. And being able to see these boats and the color and the water and everything. And then when they zoom in on the characters and they're still full screen, just really, really cool scene, just fun to take in, and having that expanded aspect ratio. I don't think this scene would have played as well if you just left it in that CinemaScope aspect ratio. So really enjoyed that. Up next at 45 minutes, 54 seconds, hallway, 45:54, which is also backwards, 45:54. Think I did that on purpose? Anyways, this is the hallway fight where one guy's fighting forward and another guy's fighting backwards. And oh, by the way, the popcorn has already popped, so we're in spoilers. He's fighting himself. Amazing. Once you know this scene and what it is, you can really pay attention to the sounds in this scene. I am not going to try to duplicate all the sounds with my voice. I want you to just go to this scene. This is another one that got four boxes of popcorn. The score is amazing, keeping the sound elevated in the room. It's changing at times. There's ticking going on. The score has so many patterns to it, so many different levels to it. Really, really nice. But that's not what I want you to listen to. What I want you to listen to is that when one guy, because one guy's fighting forward and another guy's fighting back in reverse, the sounds move differently. And when you get to a part where somebody's fighting backwards, it goes, see, I said I wasn't going to do it, but now I'm doing it. So listen for stuff like that. Listen for feet squeaks appropriately placed below the screen or on the floor. Guns dropping and being slid across floors. Sound is appropriately placed. And the reason I want you to listen for stuff like that is because those are the little tiny sounds that are going on, and they're perfectly placed all the while. The room is, like I said, the score is filling the room. The action is filling the room. And you get those nice sounds being placed all around the room, but they're just so little. Like I said, the squeaks and everything like that. But then also, listen for the different ways that they're moving. And I say listen for the way they're moving, because you can see that some of them look more awkward than others. Some of them, like when they go back up onto a wall, you can tell that they fell off of that wall in that what you're going to see later on in the movie. But it's the way the sound moves is that as well. It's just as awkward sounding. So there's different sounds. There's reverse sounds. There's forward sounds. There's little sounds going on. Like I said, guns clinking and sliding across the floor, feet squeaks, fists hitting, landing, all that different stuff. So much fun with this scene. That's why I gave it four boxes of popcorn. Lots to take in, and it ends with a nice jet engine at like 47, 48 minutes left. So it's a huge, nice, long scene, long played out scene that once you know the movie, you can see all of the details and hear all of the details, I should say. You can hear all of the details that this scene really has to offer. Highly recommend that one as well. All right, let's move along to 40 minutes and 23 seconds. Score, I gave it one box of popcorn. What I really liked about this was the different layers to the score here. So what we're seeing is the jumbo jet is being moved into place. And to set the tension, the score has this nice little underscore, I would call it. And it sounds a lot like The Dark Knight. Like, remember the opening scene from The Dark Knight? You had that little ding, 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 whatever it is, going on underneath as the bank robbers are coming, getting into place. Well, you can hear that here or something similar to it, but then over the top of it. And I mean, literally over the top of it in your room, you get this darn, darn, darn. And it is loud, really. And it, with the upmixing, it felt like it was coming in like this, over the top of me in my room, coming from the side into the top of the room and then back out. the way the sound, the score moved, the darn, darn. It was awesome. Really, really cool. Highly recommend that scene. I gave it one box of popcorn for just the score alone. And that's why, I mean, it's not really worth three, like, but because it's just the score, but it's really, really cool. Definitely check that one out. All right. Next up at 32 minutes and 30 seconds, Hot Sauce. And this is where the protagonist goes into the kitchen and he says, I ordered my hot sauce an hour ago. And if you started at 32:30, you'll jump right to that. It'll be right there. He's just about to say it. And then the big bad guys, they look like mafia guys or something in the kitchen. They start to attack him and they punch him in the side. Pretty cool. No big room engagement yet. And they get his hand onto the cutting board. And then the big baddie comes along, the big guy, and he's got a metal meat tenderizer. And he taps it on the table before he's about to hit him with it. And when he taps it, it's on the left side of the room, perfectly placed. You can hear it, boom, boom, right there on the tap, tap on the left side of your room. And then he winds up to hit him. And just as it's about to hit his hand, we get a beautifully loud guitar strum, like, and then everything, you know, the fight breaks out, stuff starts getting smashed, it's appropriately placed around the room. Lots of fun here. Had a blast with this one. This one here, I gave two boxes of popcorn, and it's just the way the sound moved around the room, but that guitar strum coming in there sounds really, really cool. Really enjoyed that. All right, up next at 25:29, Michael Caine. And this scene here, I wanted to use as an example on the dialogue. Okay, so there's been a lot of controversy over the dialogue in this movie. A lot of controversy in movies in general, that the dialogue isn't clear enough. All of our podcasts have talked about it. HT guys have talked about it. AV Rant's talked about it. I've talked about it. And that different movie, it just seems to be getting out of control. And I don't think it is. I think it's a matter of these mixes, again, I think it was HT guys said it the other day, that these mixes are being, they're being translated poorly by people with, you know, maybe a sound bar or just the speakers on their TV. You get that example, and you with all the sound coming from one place in a poorly treated room, yeah, it's going to sound bad. But when they mix these things, they sound really, really good. Because it's in a properly treated room, they're, you know, they understand everything is set up perfectly. So in our theaters, we have a good setup and we can understand the dialogue a lot better. And this scene here is why I wanted, the reason I wanted to use this scene, I should say, is because it is crystal clear. I mean, you can hear the pops in their voice when they talk. It's so distinct. Everything about it, because Christopher Nolan wants you to understand what's going on. This scene here with Michael Caine and the protagonist, they sit there and they're telling you what this entire movie is about, what the mission that he's going to go on is about. Okay. So there's a lot of information here that they want you to get so you can understand it perfectly. I mean, it is so crystal clear, and there's other stuff. There's a nice score going on all the while. You can hear the restaurant around them. There's environmental sounds around you as well. Really, really nice, but crystal clear. Earlier in the movie, when you're hearing people talk with gas masks on and they're talking like this and you don't really understand what they're saying, you're not meant to. The idea of this movie where people are complaining, like, I don't understand the dialogue. I don't get some of it. It's just, why did he muddy it like that? If you're caring more about the dialogue in those scenes than you are about what's going on, this entire movie, you're trying to figure out which way we're going. Are we going back through time? Is this earlier? Is this in the past? Is this in the future? Sometimes the dialogue isn't the most important thing. It's what's going on around them. And when you need to understand the dialogue in this movie is perfect. So I think it's an artistic choice on Christopher Nolan's point. I think in other movies, because people like to point to this movie that oh, well, look at how bad the dialogue is, and that's how bad, and then they extrapolate that out to other movies. I think it's a cause and effect in other movies as opposed to this movie here. I think it's an artistic choice because when you need to understand it, when it's important to the story, you can understand it. When you don't understand, like, get out of here, the building's going to blow up. You didn't need to, that sounded like Bane. You need to get, you don't need to understand that. You know they're running for their life. You know the building's going to blow up. What did he say? He said, you got to get out of here. The building's going to blow up, or whatever he said. It's not that important. So I really like this scene. I think it's a great example. If anybody ever tells you that, you know, the dialogue in that really stinks, really, go to that Michael Caine scene. I gave it 3 boxes of popcorn because I think it's that important to the movie. I think it's that important of an example on how good the dialogue is in this movie. There are other examples all the way through the movie. If you need to understand what's going on, Christopher Nolan made sure you could understand it. So I think it's an artistic choice in this movie. All right, let's move along. That's enough of me on my little dialogue soapbox. Up next at 2055 Casing, this is where John David Robinson, the protagonist, and Robert Pattinson, I think his name was Neil, they are bungee upping into a building, and the score here is really loud. You get some nice, obviously, that's going to be redundant throughout this, that the score is really loud. But you get this nice boom going around the room. Again, I'm not really duplicating that very well with my voice. But what I really liked about this scene is, so they come up the side of the building, and again, at 2055, I think, Robert Pattinson's character shoots a guy, and he has a silencer on his gun. And you get the nice little, you know, little sound of a suppressed gun being shot. But then again, like I said, your room is filled with sound from the score. Sounds bouncing around your room, circling you, going, and if you're up mixing it like I am with Neural X, you're getting overhead, everything. It sounds really, really nice. But listen to that casing, perfectly placed, because he fires the gun, and then you get the, on the left side of your room, you hear the casing hit the ground, and it sounds like it bounces, to me, right out, it would be outside my room, the way the sound goes, but in a blackened room, it's off screen to the left, and you can hear it perfectly land on the ground in front of you to the left. And it was, while everything else is going on, you can hear that little casing bouncing across the room, across the floor. Really, really cool. Nice detail. Really like that. Up next at 12 minutes and 54 seconds, we get Safety Vest. And this is about the HDR and how nice it is and the difference that you can get because of HDR. So he's walking into the building here, and he's wearing a safety vest. And when he's going into the building, look how bright that vest is. And then immediately the camera jumps to an inside shot of him coming down the stairs. And check out how, like, dimly lit the inside is, so you don't get that reflective quality off the vest. Just jumping back and forth on that, it just... just seeing that difference, I thought was really cool. The first time I saw this, watching it with my son, I was thinking maybe I should go. Nope, I'll wait until I'm doing my review. But doing the review, I went back and forth, and you could just see it looks dirty in the second shot, which it is. It's kind of got some grime on it and stuff. But when he's walking in, it's just so bright. The light coming off of it is so brilliant. And then he gets inside, and it's just a dimly lit room. He's coming down the stairwell, and it just, you can really see the difference there. Really cool. Up next, probably my favorite scene in this entire movie because of the home theater experience part of it and the meaning to the movie. So I called this scene Inverted Trains, and the scene is at 6 minutes and 50 seconds, and what happens here is they take him to be interrogated or tortured in between the railroad tracks with trains going by, so nobody would be able to hear you. Trains going by on either side of you. And the way the camera is set up is you're looking down tracks. So a nice perspective, tracks getting closer as they go further away, you know, that whole thing. But train is going one way on one side and it's going another way on the other side. I honestly forget which way they're going on each side. But the important part here is the sound on each side of your room moves appropriately to the train. So if the train's moving from the front of the screen to the back of the room, that's the way the sounds are going. And trains make a specific sound that you could track where it goes da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. That da-ding, da-ding, da-ding will go by you down the side of your room. And on the other side, you have another train with a distinctive, distinct sound making, like a maybe, I don't know, it's a different type of train or something. It's going cha-chong, cha-chong, cha-chong down the other direction, but it's going from rear to the front of your room. Amazing. But not only that, what does that mean to the movie? You don't know which way you're going in this movie. So in this scene, you have a train going in one direction. You have a train going in another direction on either side of your room. Trains are doing a, quote, pincer move. It's an amazing scene at the beginning of the movie. We're only at this point, this ends at 8 minutes and 40 something seconds. And we get the title screen. So this is the very beginning of the movie. And it's a foreshadow to the entire movie that you don't know which way you're going. Are you going forward in time? Are you going back in time? Is this train, which train on either side of the room is going in two directions? So it's telling you this entire movie is going in two directions at the entire time. And on top of that, you get this home theater environment that I guarantee you are not experiencing on a sound bar. You would never, but to have a train go down one side of your room at the same time a train's going down the other side of your room in opposite directions is amazing. And that's, to me, that's amazing. Don't ever tell me you need Atmos. This is all done in DTS Master Audio 5.1. You don't need Atmos or DTS:X or any of those, you know, object-based sound formats. When done well, you would never know which one this was. And this one is done so well. This movie is done so well. You have deep bass. You have pans. There's pans in this scene, too, here. This scene, like I said, plays out for almost 2 minutes straight. And the camera actually changes a side shot, and a train goes by. And it goes from, like, I think from right to left. Very, very loud. It ramps up just to give you the idea of I think they're about to pull his teeth out, and the train goes by to drown out his screaming, and you can just hear it. You can hear the train so loud taking up your whole room. Then the camera again goes back to that long shot with the trains on either side. So there's a lot to this scene, and that's why I gave it 4 boxes of popcorn, the rare 4 boxes of popcorn. I cap out at 3, except for special occasions like this one. All right. Next up, at 6 minutes and 33 seconds, we get Dark Knight. Getting creative here. This being a Christopher Nolan film, I really felt like this scene here had the feel of the Dark Knight when Heath Ledger is walking out as the Joker and the hospital explodes behind him. Well, this scene here, at 6 minutes and 33 seconds, they've already thrown the backpack with the explosives in it up into the balcony section. And the score is loud. You've got more drums, you know, just hitting you in the chest. Loud, full room engagement still. Very, very loud. But then you get that explosion. First, you see it from the orchestra. They're looking up and you see the explosion just come at you right off the screen, right out of the balcony section. And then the camera jumps to outside the building, and you see, and that's where it kind of had that Dark Knight feel of them running out of the building and the building exploding behind them. But the double shot you got in your room, first the explosion from the orchestra pit, and you just see it coming over you, and then you hear it from in front of you, but then slightly behind you, it moves to behind you. And then, of course, you jump to outside and you get it all over again. Really, really cool. Deep explosion. Feel it in your chest. Feel it in your seat. Really, really good. All right. Up next, we have a drum beat at 2:50 at 2:50, pretty much even. So at this point here, the score has been playing out behind very loudly, the room, like I said, full engagement in the room, right? But then all of a sudden at 2:50, I want you to start it at 2:50 because I think at 2:51, 2:52, all of a sudden this drum beat comes in that you can just feel in your chest. It's dum da da dum da da dum da. But it's very, I shouldn't be singing or pretending to be an instrument, but you can feel it's just this deep percussion in your chest, just really, really cool, just comes into the score. Again, this entire scene, obviously the gunshots are going off, the tension is high with the score, sounds really, really good, full room engagement, but then at that 2:50, 2:51 mark, you get that, just all of a sudden, you get this beat that comes in that you can feel in your chest. Really, really nice. Not overwhelming, not like a gunshot, but it's just that small beat, like somebody's just tapping you in the chest that wasn't there before that. Really, really cool. Up next, the opening. This opening, right from jump, you get the red Warner Brothers logo. You get the sound filling your room, notes bouncing around your room. And with the Neural X upmixing, I really felt like it was overhead as well. Coming from my front and rear channels, it kind of bounced around, moved around the room. Front and rear overhead channels, I should say. Lots of stuff going on. Then it slowly transitions to the room sounding like the orchestra is warming up. And that goes on until the 1 minute mark. And at the 1 minute mark, you get the single gunshot and then the chaos just breaks out. You hear the terrorists are coming in. They're knocking over cellos. They're knocking over instruments. They're not destroying people. They're knocking people over. Just your full room engagement right off the bat. Very, very high volume. Really, really cool. Painful at times, but not. I really, really enjoyed it. And the first time I saw this in the theater, it was loud. So the theater was playing it well, but the clarity that you get in your room now, so much better than in the theater. And we'll get into that when we talk about some of the dialogue. But up next, we have the wrap up because we've come to the end of the podcast. We went backwards. We went forward. I don't know which way was it recorded. I was thinking about doing it all backwards, but I can't talk. I can't do that. So apparently there are people that can do that. An amazing, amazing movie. One of my favorite movies pretty much of all time. I love, like, Inception. I love these movies that make you think. My son and I sat here and we watched this. This is my fourth or fifth time watching this movie. And then when you add in the analysis part where I have to break it down, so I'm up to like six or seven times watching this movie. My son's seen it, I think, three times. And every single time you're like, I still don't get it completely. But I think to me, that's what's great. That's what makes it a piece of art. That's what makes Christopher Nolan such an artist, is that these movies are just, they're just so intriguing on every viewing. And the home theater experience, I demonstrated how clearly it is a great, great home theater experience. How do you not own this movie if you have a home theater? If you're into this hobby, if you're listening to this podcast, how do you not own this? So highly, highly recommended. What did you think? Did I change your mind on object-based sound? Is 5.1 enough to get by? Get by. Come on. Let me know in the comments below, or you can follow me along on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And all of those comments, plus questions, critiques, anything else, you can hear on my audio-only podcast that comes out on Tuesdays, where the listeners take over, and that's all I talk about. Home theater stuff that the listeners want to hear about. So, thanks for checking out the video. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you, or you will hear me, on Tuesdays. Now, go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.